Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You listen to The Expressway with VT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
And here we go. Let's go and let's get it. Welcome to The Expressway. I'm Charles Way. I'm here with my partner, the VT Express, Billy Taylor. Billy, we got a jam-packed schedule today. We're going to obviously touch on last week's Giants game, but we definitely need to talk about what it's going to take for the Giants to beat the Vikings this week, especially in that place up there in Minnesota that the Giants have never, seems like, won a game up there in Minnesota. And then let's talk about the coaching situation. There's been a little bit of coaching movement, a lot of coaches that were fired. Some could still be fired. I want to talk about who you think is on a chopping block, who may leave. They're talking about the Rams. And the coach over there may decide to leave the game for a little bit because he's burnt out. And then I want to go through the schedule, see what you think. Give me your predictions on this week's playoffs games. But let's go to this last week's game. I couldn't watch it. It was hard to watch last week's game. I knew they weren't playing any of their starters, which probably was a good thing. You didn't want to get anybody banged up, given they need to be completely healthy to have a chance to beat the Vikings this weekend.
Well, I agree with Coach Dable. I think what he did was correct because if you think about it, the Giants have played well all season. They surprised a lot of people. A lot of people didn't think they would get to this point. If you had told me at the beginning of the season that the Giants will win 9 games, I would have probably argued with you because I didn't see any difference in their team last year and this year. But the only difference is coaching. And I just think the Giants did exactly what they should. They needed to rest Danny Jones and Saquon Barkley and some of their defensive players. And I think they made a good move. Now, contrary to that, Charles Way, the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers is on the hot seat, and we're going to get to that later, because he played his players, and there was nothing to gain, and two of them got hurt. That defensive end they have, who's all pro, and their great receiver, Mike Williams, they got hurt in a game that was meaningless, and that the owner of the team is mad that he may fire them if they lose over the weekend. I can see them getting fired too, the Los Angeles Chargers. So that's, I give Coach Dable a lot of credit for what he did, and this might be the difference.
It might be, but who impressed you in this week's game? Obviously, given where the Giants are, everyone is surprised that the Giants have made it this far, got to the playoff. Expectations were very low. So anything that they do in the playoffs is gravy, the way I look at it. But preparing, like, I'm always one to kind of prepare for next year because I'm not thinking that they're going to go to, that we have a Super Bowl team this year. So who do you think from the guys that played last week impressed you enough that we should give them a shot?
Well, believe it or not, Kenny, the wide receiver who's $72 million, he caught his first touchdown pass. And it's kind of funny because people were talking about where was he. But see, I think what happened, and this has never been said, I think he was in the doghouse and they finally let him out. And see, they need somebody big like that to come along in the clutch Danny Jones can have room for mistakes because he's about 6'3", 6'4". And they haven't used him all year. He say he's been hurt, but he says he's back up in there. But I think he was in the doghouse. But by catching his first touchdown pass of the year, that could be something that the Giants could utilize when they get inside the 20-yard line. Also, their offensive line is interchangeable. They played so many people up front. That could help them coming down the stretch. And I just wanted to ask you, Charles, even though we're talking about this, does this remind you, and you said it a couple of weeks ago, the Giants played the Patriots, and they beat them in the Super Bowl, but they played them the last regular season game, and they lost to them just like us to the Minnesota Vikings by 3 points. Is this a deja vu, or you think? Because a lot of people say to me, Charles Way, the Giants should have beat the Minnesota Vikings a few weeks ago. And I don't know if Kirk Cousins can stand in there against the pressure that Thibodeau is going to throw at him this week.
And that's a great segue into our next segment. As for those who are looking at the program on YouTube and those who are listening on the podcast, you need to just check us out on YouTube. We're going to show some videos and some plays that we think are keys for the Giants and the Giants defense, Giants offense to beat Minnesota. Given, like I said, it's always been a tough place for the Giants to play up there in Minnesota. But as we run these clips and we kind of go through the defensive side of the ball, and just like what you were saying, what do the Giants need to do to give them an opportunity to win? They almost beat them. They almost beat them the first time they went to Minnesota. If it wasn't for a few mistakes, two turnovers, a fumble by Bellinger and an interception from Daniel Jones, they may have blown them out. You understand? Because in the first quarter, they were driving down the field, right? And Bellinger catches a pass. He gets into the green zone and he fumbles the ball. And that kind of kills the momentum. So you never know. If Bellinger wouldn't have fumbled the ball, you would have never thought that the Giants would have lost that game, because they would have had that momentum. But let's take us to the first clip. And what I want to focus on, I want to get your opinion on, is focusing on the run game. They got Dalvin Cook, and they got to control Dalvin Cook. If they don't stop Dalvin Cook, then I don't know how they have a chance, because then that opens up the play action pass. That opens up a lot more stuff, and it gives Kirk Cousins the time that he needs to play the game. And in this first clip we're about to show, we're going to show them how they get out of their running lanes, and they give Dalvin Cook just enough light of day for him to make a good long run.
Okay, you talk us through it, Charles.
All right, here we go.
And then I'll comment when you finish.
Sure. And so, like I was saying, the defensive line, they're disjointed. Everyone is on different levels. And as a running back, both of us are running backs. If you get on different levels, that's all I need. And especially for a running back like Dalvin Cook, all you need is a little bit of light. And that's all he had in that last play. He had a little bit of light. Everybody's on different levels. Look, everybody's on different levels, and they're making a good run. So what do you say? What do the Giants defense, given their defensive line only has, you got Leonard Williams on the defensive line, you got Dexter Lawrence. Those two guys got to be stout in there if they're going to have any chance to beat the Minnesota Vikings this week.
Yeah, but the best way I say it, and you've heard it your whole life or your whole time you've been a Giant and a former Giant, and so have I. I hear Bill Belichick, even I can hear him in my ear saying, do your job. If you concentrate on your job from a defensive lineman standpoint and not try to overdo it or make big plays, just try to make sure you do your job. If your job is to get inside, go inside. If your job is to cover the one or the two gap, you do that. And I think that they were a little bit undisciplined against the Minnesota Vikings the first time. And because of that, I think that that the Vikings were able to capture something. But you learn, I even hate to say it, but you learn more by losing than you do by winning, because you can make the corrections. And coaches love to correct players. And I think this is a situation where most of the mistakes that the Giants made against the Vikings the first time were correctable, Charles.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm hoping, because now you have tape of the team you're going to play against.
Yep.
And because you feel as though you played against the best and you took their best shot, now hopefully that gives you enough confidence to say, hey, we took their best shot and they barely beat us. And arguably, if it wasn't for a certain amount of mistakes, we had a good chance of beating them. And don't forget, they were playing without a Dory Jackson, right? And Xavier McKinney in that game. And they still almost came away with a victory. And we'll get into a little bit later in the segment, you're going to see they were playing a lot of zone because they wanted to protect against Jefferson, all of the receivers that they were, that they, you know, Hockenson, who scored the touchdown, their tight end, he leans heavily, Cousins leans heavily on the tight end. And this third play that I want to show you, which kind of sets it up for us to kind of end us on a good note, somewhat of a good note, that if you watch this play right here coming up, and you see what we got to stop, because now you're gonna now get the, it's like almost a draw, right? So they wanna try to get them rushing, getting them on different levels, but everybody has to stay stout. Just stay in your lane.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And get push, yep, and pressure. And if you can stay in your lane and get push and pressure, you have a better chance of having success against the run game than you do without. As you see, they're on different levels again, and he gets 8 to 10 yards. You can't have that. You got to get them off the schedule and put the pressure on Kirk Cousins' arm.
Do you think that if the Giants can do better against the run, that they could force Cousins, because he's not an agile or mobile guy, and I don't think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, even though he's probably made the most money of anybody because he's been doing that for a long time. And I think that if you stop the run and put the pressure on Cousins, then he's got to beat you. He hasn't shown me over the years that he can win a game in the playoffs by himself without the running game. So I think it's like you have to take something away, and if they take the running game away, or at least get them to, you know, less than 4 yards a carry, I think the Giants have a chance. The defense has played pretty well all year. They got people well rested. As you said, Adoree's coming back this week. He's going to make an impression. And I'm kind of excited. I don't want to get into my early prediction or not, but it should be entertaining. If you entertain me, I'll buy you a drink, Charles Way.
And I like the way you set up this next segment, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting pressure on Kirk Cousins, making him a drop back quarterback. And in this next clip, you're going to see the pressure gets to him. It makes him antsy. It makes him throw the pass before he wants to. And as we look at this clip, you'll see it.
And also, the defensive coordinator, Wink, he likes to blitz. I think Cousins is a sitting duck. If he can pick the right blitzes, this is going to help the Giants defense tremendously and bring them in second and long and third and long.
And as you see, one, he doesn't like people around him. And that wasn't and that wasn't just enough pressure that, look, he overthrew the pass. If we run the playback, let's run the playback a little one more time. If we run the playback one more time, you'll see they weren't in his face, but he just felt bodies around him. And because you feel bodies around you, he's uncomfortable in that pocket. Look at him.
Yeah, I watched him over the years because he's about a 10 or 11-year veteran. I watched him play with the Redskins many, many years ago. And he always has trouble when people get around his feet or his legs. He was overrated in a lot of departments, because when he played with the Redskins, when they put pressure on him, he didn't come through. If they can get him to throw at least one interception, and for the defense to give the ball back to the Giants offense, I think they can capitalize it. They need to shut the crowd up by having some success early and not letting that Minnesota faithful in that dome get loud, because if they get loud, it's going to be hard for Danny Jones to be able to call an audible.
You're listening to The Expressway with Charles Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are almost ready to tell you something special that a lot of you may not know. A lot of you may not know, but you have to come back and join us for the second quarter right after a word from from our sponsors.
That was a good tease, Charles. Good tease. Okay, so second quarter, what are we talking about?
We're gonna finish up the pressure and talk about Justin Jefferson. Hey, Dennis, if you could just tee them up because we're going right in order. So if you can have them ready, and I'll kind of cue you when I'm talking, when to cue them. So we're going right in order. So I'm actually following the sheet I emailed you. Okay, perfect. So Billy, we can pick that up from there. Talk about.
I don't see any plays from here, Charles.
Okay, I'll do it.
But no, I don't see any plays. So you do it, and then I'll comment on what you say.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm ready when you are.
Okay. Bring this back, Dennis. And we're back. You're joining the Expressway. I'm Charles Way, and I'm here with my partner, Billy Taylor, the BT Express. And we were just talking about the keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball for the Giants. Now we're going to just continue to talk about that, but we're going to actually focus on the defensive line, getting pressure on Kirk Cousins. As we were saying in our last segment, it is important in order to fluster Kirk Cousins and throw him off of his game, they got to get pressure on Kirk Cousins. And this next clip that we're about to see, we're going to see how that pressure does impact his accuracy and gives the defense a chance to get off the field. If you take a look at this next clip, you'll see what I'm talking about. You see, it's when you don't get the pressure and he has time, you give those guys him a lot of time to do whatever he wants to survey the field and find the open receiver. And one of the things we can't let happen is we can't let Justin Jefferson get off.
But the thing about it, too, is when the defensive coordinator starts to blitz, starts to put pressure on Cousins, that puts them in man situations. And that's the part I worry about, because Jefferson, I don't think anybody could beat him one-on-one and with the 50-50 ball, because he's that talented of a wide receiver. He's got to be in the top 10 in the whole NFL, because, you know, he'll go get the ball for you. He has got yards after the catch. And I think the Giants really going to have to do something when they blitz to not allow him one-on-one coverage, because I don't think he can't be beat on different times. Maybe with a Dory coming in, that might be beneficial to the Giants.
And hopefully, if we look at this next clip, hopefully if adding a Dory Jackson to this play and having Xavier McKinney in the game, maybe now instead of playing zone as much as they did in that game, they can play a little bit of man-to-man. Let's run this play and see how when they're playing zone and still getting pressure, it impacts the play. You see, playing zone, and now you're getting pressure with just four guys. And that helps. And hopefully you got, now when you play man, you can bring more, you can play more blitzes and you can put more pressure on them. And in this play, and it's going to be critical, they got to stop them. When they do get into the red zone, the defense got to stay strong like they did on that last play.
Well, so I think one of the keys, though, and the Giants offense can help out tremendously, is they have to get up early. And I thought they did that early in the first game. To be able to get up early, make Minnesota have to come back. And even though they're at home, I think you can put a lot of pressure on Cousins. And I think, well, to be honest with you, I think Cousins is way overrated. Don't get me wrong. He throws some nice balls sometimes, but he showed me that if you put pressure on him, he's going to crumble. And the Giants have to go in there. And the great thing, Charles Way, is they are well rested, because even though Minnesota played last week, they had to play some of the regulars a little bit longer. The Giants didn't play theirs. If they come in this game well-rested, just like they're off of a bye week, they've got a chance to do something. But they've got to execute the game plan. They cannot make mistakes. You can't turn the ball over. Danny Jones has done an outstanding job this year of making sure that didn't happen, that could happen in years past when he led the league in turnovers and fumbles. So I'm really looking for Dabo to turn his coaching level up. He has shown me a lot. They said that he's been to the playoffs as a coach, I can't remember, something like 20 times. I didn't realize he was that experienced from a coach's standpoint. That might be the difference in the game.
And I think it will be. I think if Wink Martindale can continue bringing a game plan that fits his personnel, and that's what I think you got to give him credit for. He put together a game plan week in and week out that fit the personnel. He knows he doesn't have the talent at cornerback or at safety to play man-to-man, especially given the talented receivers and the tight end, for that matter, that that Minnesota has, I'm not going to put you in a bad position. So I appreciate and admire the fact that he's not putting his guys in bad positions. He's putting them in positions to win. And i.e., let's look at this play four where they almost pick, they almost get an interception because he's putting guys in the right position to make plays. And as you see, that was the screenplay.
Can the Giants beat the Minnesota Vikings if they stop their screens?
They can, but they're a big screen team. Speaking of screens, and I'm glad we showed that play. They are a screen team, right? And so they gotta be mindful. We want to put like we're talking. They know the same thing. They know Kirk Cousins doesn't like pressure. They know he can't function. He's not like Aaron Rodgers. Please bring pressure, and I'm gonna beat you no matter what you do. He's not Aaron Rodgers, and I think they know that as well. And as you saw in that last play, they ran a couple of screens that ran for 15 to 20 yards last game. So they got to be mindful of that. It's like, hey, don't get too enamored with trying to go get Cousins. Do your job. Play your keys, and if you play your keys, you have a chance to win. I think this is the clip that's the interception. And as you see, they don't have a lot of pressure, but look at what they zone. Zone defense, they set them up, and everybody was in the right position to make a big play.
Well, see, what I like is being able to mix things up, because if Cousins can predict what you guys are doing, what the Giants are doing on defense, then he has the advantage. But I like the way Coach Wink does it, because he mixes things up. He moves people around. You never know where someone's coming from. And if he can keep Cousins guessing, they can come up with some sacks. I love it when they only bring four people, because that means that they've got eight or seven people in coverage. And I think that makes the difference in the game. The only thing that scares me is if they get in man coverage and they leave Jefferson out there by himself. That's a tough situation. But I think because each team knows each other so well, because they just finished playing, I think they're going to have to be able to come up with some little wrinkles that they didn't see in the last game.
Yep. And just like you said, the key from a passing game perspective is stopping Jefferson. And in this next clip, this is just one play that Jefferson got open and made a big difference in the play. It keeps the downs going. You want to be able to stop drives. And you know that's what he's going to look to. He's going to look to two guys when he needs a play. He's going to look at Hockenson, his tight end, and Justin Jefferson, his wide receiver. And in this next play, you're going to see how Justin Jefferson makes a big play for another first down.
Jefferson is indeed one of the top receivers in the NFL. I like watching them, except against the Giants. But I think he's a great receiver.
Yeah.
And he runs a great route, too. I like to see receivers use what they have.
You know what? One of the things, he's very underrated. He was underrated, because you don't hear him being talked as one of the top receivers. But given what he's done, yep, this entire year, he's one of the top receivers in the NFL. And so as we continue to move and talk about what it's going to take for the Giants to beat the Vikings, what I want to tell everyone is there is something that we have to say in the third quarter. There's something that we have to tell you in the third quarter that's going to blow your mind, that will blow your mind. And so you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Billy Taylor, along with my buddy Charles Way. And we talk four quarters of football. Our first quarter, we usually talk about the Giants or Jets, which is our home team. The second quarter, we talk about some different things that happened in the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings offense and defense and their great wide receiver, Jefferson. Third quarter, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Giants offense. And then the fourth quarter, we'll have some more surprises for you. But Charles Way, I loved last week that they rested Saquon Barkley, because I had told you weeks previously that I thought he was getting tired because
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The season so long, 17 games is a lot of games to play, and to give them a game's rest before the playoffs, we need to see a good Saquon Barkley to help take over the game to give the Giants the best chance to win.
We definitely, especially since we had killed them those 2 weeks in the year when he wasn't even running the ball. It seemed like he was scared to even get hit. So I'm happy that he left on a good note. He rested on a good note. The two prior week games, he ran the ball hard. He ran the ball like we knew he could run the ball. So as running backs, you take a pounding in a 16-week season. Now it's going 18 weeks of a season. And so, yeah, it's great that you're able to get a week's rest leading up to one of the biggest games in his career up to this point, right? He had never played in the playoffs while he's been here. So this is his first playoff game. So let him be ready because, like I said, the keys to victory is running the ball. And it's really the same keys for Minnesota, but Cousins isn't as mobile as Daniel Jones. That's the key difference between the two teams and the talent. I'm embellishing a little bit because I'm not saying Darius Slayton is in the same category as Justin Jefferson. Okay. Right. Or I'm not comparing TJ Hockenson to Cody Bellinger. Right. I'm not trying to do that. But for all intents and purposes, they play the game a certain way. They run the ball, play action pass. They don't really want to put the ball in Kirk Cousins' hands because he has yet to show he could actually win the game with the ball in his hands. He has a bunch of good, talented receivers around him, but he has yet to show he can win the game. And as you talked about, we're going to have to lean on Saquon Barkley. And in this next clip that we're going to show you what Saquon has to do and replicate as he did in his first game. I would like a lot bigger, longer and bigger runs from him. But if he continues to do the things that we see in these next two clips, I think that will pretend some good outcomes for us this week.
Well, I just think he needs a little bit of daylight. Give him an inch. He'll take a yard. He's well-rested. He's coming to his first playoff game in his life. This is the time when the cream comes to the top. Danny Jones has stepped up big time. Somebody's talking about him getting a $46 million contract. I don't agree with that, but it shows you what he's done to put the Giants in the playoffs. He ought to start getting endorsements by March.
That's right. And then those last two clips that we saw, you said he was hitting the hole fast. He was quick. He wasn't dancing. And then now that they're worried about him running the ball, now they're showing you as he gets outside the pocket. Look at him hitting the hole quick. He's not afraid to take on tacklers. And then look at the next play. He's out in the flat. He's moving. He's cutting. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be an integral part of the offense in order for them to win.
And I think what this does is that the Giants can establish the line of scrimmage and get Saquon a minimum of 4 yards of carry. The play action is going to be there for Danny Jones. Danny Jones is at his best when he can use the play action pass. I think that he does an outstanding job of running the offense. I think that the coach Dabo has done a great job of putting him in situations where he can be successful. Because sometimes he's not great at certain plays, but I think you as a coach have to figure out what he does best. And all year long, Coach Dabo has shown little intricacies about what Danny Jones can do. It's all coming together this week, Charles Wade. And if Saquon can compliment him, get a few play action passes in there, get the ball to Kenny Gamble, I just think that they have a chance. Kenny Galladay, excuse me. I haven't used his name much this whole year. So,
you know, he has to reintroduce himself to everyone. That's all. That's all.
Yes, that's all he's got to do.
He got to reintroduce. But, you know, like you just said, you in playoff games, your stars have to show up. And the two stars on this team, outside of the offensive line, outside of Thomas, you know, outside of the right tackle, it's Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. As we see, Saquon Barkley in this play, he has to show up. He has to play like the Saquon Barkley we know and love that was the rookie of the year when he first came out of college.
I like him. I really, really do. I think he's a good kid. I think he needs to be a Giant for life. Sometimes running backs don't get that opportunity. And I look for him to make his mark on Sunday by scoring a long touchdown. And that's what he needs to do.
And on that last play, if we run that last play back again, we can see he's hitting the hole, he's decisive, and people are scared to tackle him. People are scared to tackle him. Look, he's not going to be taken down by an arm tackle. And that's what we need. If we can have more plays like that, that'll help tremendously. It'll keep pressure off of Daniel Jones. The weight of the world isn't on his shoulder, and we can do things. But what I'm concerned with is that the Minnesota Vikings defense knows this. So when we come out, mark my words, what we should do is play action pass. Let them think that we're going to run Barkley. Play action pass a couple of times. Show them the run. Show them that we're going to lean on him and then dump it off and then dump it off. And then let Daniel Jones get in a groove where he's not facing pressure, because you know the Minnesota Vikings are going to be based in pressuring Daniel Jones and stopping the run, because that's the way you beat this team, because we don't have a Justin Jefferson or a TJ Hockenson on there that they're scared of, right? Yep. Our receivers have been outperforming, you know, their football card, right? Playing above their stats. And so they're going to have to continue to do that, but we have to limit the amount of pressure that Minnesota is going to try to put on Daniel Jones. And in this next clip that we have, it's really all about protecting Daniel Jones with the run. And as you see, look at this play right here. You got to keep them. You got to keep them honest, because what they're going to do is they're going to try to. If you count the guys in the box, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in the box, and you protect them, and now you're all right. You don't have 8 guys in the box.
And I think the Giants have to make an adjustment, because if Saquon begins to have success running the ball, you'll see Minnesota either bring a linebacker or a safety up on the side to make it an 8-man defense, and that the Giants got to counter by play action pass or making Danny Jones have to win the game. And if you think of Minnesota doing that, you know, this is Danny Jones' first time having an opportunity to show people what he can do. If he gives the opportunity because they play man and they're trying to stop Saquon Barkley, he's got a chance to get some more endorsements in March.
That's right. And if you run that last play back, you'll see when you play action pass, you can help out on the offensive line. Look at what he does. When you're running play action pass, now it frees the running back up to help out the offensive lineman to stop those guys that are just peeling back their ears and just saying, I'm going to go get the quarterback. Now they have another guy. You know how frustrating that is when you got a running back coming out before he goes out for a pass, chipping you? Defensive ends hate it. Defensive tackles hate it. And they get frustrated. And if you're doing that all game, it'll go a long way in frustrating the defense. They'll get tired of rushing because they think somebody's going to hit, and it'll give Daniel Jones a little bit more time.
And I think that's exactly what Danny Jones needs. If Saquon Barkley could chip on the offense, on the defensive lineman, give his offensive line a little bit more help, this could be a game that the Giants could look in for ages. I don't know what's going to happen after that. But I'm looking for this to be a competitive game and at least a fun game to watch, because it's almost like a chess match. If they do this, the Giants do this. If they bring up another man in the line of scrimmage and try to stop Saquon because he's fresh and his legs are ready, he's having success, then the rest is up to Danny Jones and Coach Daboll for putting him in positions where they can at least take advantage of situations. And that's what football, especially offensive football, is all about.
Absolutely. They have to. This is this is without a doubt a critical piece to the to any keys to victory is making sure the offensive line is stout. They got to come back and be ready to go from the get go. They can't wait a quarter. They can't wait 2 minutes. They can't wait. They got to come and say, hey, look, this is the last game we're going to play this year, and we got to do whatever we can to win a game. And in this next clip, we'll see. It's all about pass protection. Whatever way you do it, it's all about pass protection. This is just another way of doing it. Play action pass. Do you see how you open up the field? Because now you draw the linebackers in. But this is the mistake that we make. You got a wide open play, and what happens? And this is in the beginning of the game. This is the first drive of the game. You're driving down. You're ready to go. And he throws an interception. And the play is there to be made. He misses. If we run the play back, he misses the guy. We can't make mistakes. We can't do that.
Well, if Danny Jones wants to ensure that he gets a good contract next year, he's got to take advantage of situations. And he really has shown me much more than I thought, Charles Wade, because in the first couple of seasons, I really didn't know. Last year, you know, he's always getting hurt his neck. This year, he's been in every game that he's played. It seems like he's the leader of the team. And when he runs either to the right or to the left, he's effective. Last game, he had 4 touchdowns. I mean, the last game they won, 2 touchdowns through the air and 2 running the ball. This is a running quarterback league that we're playing in, and your quarterback has got to be agile, mobile, be able to create situations. And this is where Danny is going to be at his best. If he has a chance to do something, this is now for Danny Jones. And a lot of people are turning their heads back toward Danny Jones, the 6th pick of the draft a few years back. And he's really kind of stepped up. If he can cut down the mistakes, don't make any mistakes. As far as, you know, turn the ball over, and just if he's got to throw it away and let the defense have to take over, he's got to do that. It gives him a chance.
And remember, like I said, if we just that last clip, let's run that last clip one more time, because it's critical. I'm talking about it's critical that they no turnovers. They have to have 0 turnovers to have a chance to beat Minnesota in Minnesota. And Bell, like I said, this is the beginning of the drive. Daniel Jones makes a great pass. Bellinger is running down. They're in the red zone. And he fumbles the ball. And he gets the ball stripped away from him. This is the first quarter. 7-0. You're coming back. You know, they think, oh, you're the Giants. You're terrible. You've just come off 3 losses. But they're driving down the field. They would have been on the 20-yard line. And they stripped the ball. Everybody has to come ready to play and say, hey, look, this is the last game. I can't make any mistakes. I'm going to give me what, you know, take what the defense gives you and then do, and don't try to do anything outside of what you do, you know, play within yourself. And that's what they need to do. That's what they didn't do on that play. Cody Bellinger thought he was TJ Hockenson because he saw TJ Hockenson making all these touchdown passes, getting all these passes. You're not TJ Hockenson. You're Cody Bellinger. Be Cody Bellinger. Be that guy, you know. And do what you need to do in order for the Giants to win. Not the Vikings by giving up that football.
And this is the best situation the Giants have been in since 2016 when they went to Green Bay and lost and Odell missed a touchdown pass. That was the famous boat ride they went on. And I think that a lot of people took that for granted. They didn't get as much rest as they needed. And the Giants should have won that game. So this is a learning experience for them. And when they talk about the top power ratings, Charles Way, in the NFC, when they talk about in the NFC, the Giants are like 8th or 9th. They're down there with the Bucks. So this gives the Giants a chance to prove people that they are a good football team, because I've always thought you make it to the halfway point of the season, you have enough victories to slide into the playoffs. The Giants are in the playoffs. They did with 1 game to go. I think that this can help them in years to come, because they know what they need for next year. They know what they have to do this game to win. And I think that next year, This is going to help the Giants both offensively and defensively to be able to get back to the playoffs after this learning season this year.
You're absolutely right. And then this next play, Daniel Jones does a great job of protecting the football because they're going to come. They're going to put pressure on him, but he has to. And this is what he's been doing most of the year is he's been last year. If we run the next clip, we'll see how Daniel Jones is in the pocket and he has two hands on the ball watching the football so someone doesn't knock the ball out of his hand.
And I like the way they've taught him to do it too, because I remember when Tiki Barber was the running back and he was fumbling a lot, he held the ball differently and then didn't fumble after that. I think by Danny Jones holding the ball with two hands, and you got to do that because you got too many defensive ends and tackles who are athletes. It's almost like Lawrence Taylor set the pace for him by being able to come over with his right hand and knock the ball out. I see a lot of linebackers and defensive linemen doing that because of Lawrence Taylor. So you got to hold the ball with two hands. I give Danny Jones a lot of credit because he learned from his mistakes. And that's the key to being a good football player, is not making the same mistake twice.
That's right. And as you can see, look at him. Like what you just said, just take the sack. Don't make any mistakes. You're in the green zone. You're in position for a field goal. Just take the sack, right? And that's his maturation. I think that's what's matured in Daniel Jones, and that's what's given a lot of people less anxiety about bringing him back next year and giving him the money that he wants.
Well, it's hard for me to think of him making $46 million going from what he made this year. I think he made $10 million in his fifth year. Going to $46 million. And I don't know, you know, I think that if you want the Giants to be successful, they cannot have the quarterback making that kind of money. Look at Tom Brady. He took a pay cut to $25 or $30 million so he could sign other players. And I hope that Danny Jones is that kind of player where he wants to win. I look at the quarterback at Green Bay making $50 million, and I just think that that's being selfish because you can't sign anybody else. They didn't make the playoffs this year. And I think you have to be a team player and help your team to do whatever it takes to be successful.
That's right. If you look at, he's not in the Lamar Jackson category just yet. But the problem is everybody around the league is looking for a quarterback and there aren't any. So somebody would pay him $40-something million to be their quarterback and figure out a way if he doesn't pan out to get rid of him some way, somehow. And like I said, like here, Daniel Jones, what makes Daniel Jones Daniel Jones is he's a mix between a poor man's Lamar Jackson and a poor man's Aaron Rodgers, right? Where he'll look down the field. He's not that fast and quick, but he's very mobile and he'll make plays with his legs. And this is what's given the Giants the extra advantage on offense, is because now you got to play against Daniel Jones against the run when he's dropping back the pass. So you have an extra dangerous person, extra runner out there where other teams, i.e. Kirk Cousins, isn't they don't have that on the other side of the ball.
Totally agree, because Danny Jones impressed me when he gets outside. I remember that one run a couple of years ago when he could have went 80, but he fell down. And that was kind of funny because he does have a decent speed once he gets going. And for Coach Dabo to do it on both sides and roll it out, I think that's simply outstanding. You're listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. Every week we're on talking New York Giant or Jet football. It's always fun. We try to make it fun for everybody. When we come back in the fourth quarter, we're going to talk about some of the coaches who have lost their jobs and some who may lose their jobs in the future. And then we're going to give our picks on the upcoming playoff games. Don't touch that dot. We're coming right back with more on The Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to The Expressway. I'm Charles Way. I'm here with my partner, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. and we are here talking about the Giants and the keys to victory. We just got finished talking in three segments about what the Giants need to do to win this weekend. I think we all know they have a great shot at probably one of the teams that if you're betting or if you're a better on football, if you want to bet an underdog, this is probably one of the teams that you're betting on as an underdog, because I hear a lot of talk that the Vikings should be very concerned about an upset this weekend. But before we get into our predictions, Billy, I want to kind of go through this week's firings. You know, we've been talking about Lovie Smith and how they didn't give him a chance to show what he can do, give him a real chance.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And given that he won the last game, he had a team that shouldn't have been playing the way they were playing hard because they don't have the talent like every other team in the NFL. And they didn't really – I don't think they really gave him a chance. And they fired him just after, what, eight games?
Well, the thing that made me mad about Lovie Smith was that they – you know, he didn't have talent. I mean, he had a quarterback that some people were unsure about. I think that out of 17 games this year, they were in at least 15 of them. They played hard for him. I love to see when players play hard for their coach. I think he is a coach that deserves more than just 1 year. And it makes me mad because you got two African-Americans who've only lasted 1 year. Steve Wilks last year with the same team, the Houston Texans, and then Lovie Smith. How can you do something with 1 year? And the thing about it takes you a year just to get your know where your house is, where you move to, let alone, you know, getting a team to play the way you want to. So I don't know about the Houston Texans organization, but that makes me think something's wrong with them, and that's why they're in the position they are today.
Well, can I play conspiracy theorist for one?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we live in a world where we all live in alternate realities, right? So I want to play conspiracy theorist for 1 second.
Go ahead.
So as we all know, the Texans really wanted to hire Kay Bickham last year before they hired David Culley. And so what is the best way to do it, knowing that you're going to have a bad team anyway this year? You probably want to fire the GM because GM wasn't totally for Kay Bickham. I think this is a similar situation like in Indianapolis, where you want to hire Jeff Saturday. The owner wants to hire one person and everybody else is like, what are you talking about? You can't hire people you like and people that can talk a good game. They actually have to produce a good game. And I think the owner is infatuated with McCown, that he knows him, he has a relationship with him, and he ultimately wanted him to be the head coach of the team. Now that they've hired two black coaches, now that's out of the way. He won't get blowback this year. And I think it opens the door, mark my words, for Cade coming in and being the head coach next year.
It's really a shame because it makes the hiring process a sham and a conspiracy. You're supposed to interview at least one black coach, and they're not even going through that process. So that makes you think that something's wrong with the way that the owners do it. I just think that the Texans could have had a good ball club, a good program, because after they lost their quarterback who went to Cleveland, they're trying to rebuild, but they don't have the opportunity, because if you don't win every week, and the one thing I got out of the conspiracy, Charles Way, was that they said that if Lovie Smith wins the last game instead of loses, they're going to fire him. If he had a loss the last game, they're guaranteed the top draft pick. Some of the prognosticators say the quarterback of Alabama is the number one quarterback in the NFL. So if Lovie had lost the game, he would have been assured of the quarterback. So the owner got upset, and this is just a conspiracy theory that I heard. If the owner got upset He's going to fire Lovie Smith because he won that last game. And if you think about any coach, why would you want to lose a game from a coach's standpoint or a player's standpoint for that matter?
That's right. That's right. And the league is crazy. Think about this. Jeff Saturday is actually being considered. If we're talking about conspiracy theory, I think this is the conspiracy theory section of our program where we're off the rails, where you're going to consider Jeff Saturday as your head coach, really, right? Through the hiring process. Come on now. He was just supposed to at least go in, kind of understand the type of players you have, take that information back to the owner, use it, and find a good quality head coach. Now you're going to bring a guy in that's never coached before, that didn't want to coach when he had the opportunity, because people have asked him to come on staffs and be an O-line coach and get and earn his stripes, and he's never wanted to. And now all of a sudden he wants to come and be a part of a team, and now you're going to actually consider him to be your head coach for a full season. What happened in the last three games? They didn't even put a good product on the field, and you want him to lead the team next year? Come on now.
And I was kind of embarrassed for Jeff Saturday also, because, you know, he had never coached before, but I thought, you know, with him being a 14-year NFL veteran, been to the Super Bowl, play with Peyton Manning, all those things, maybe that could help him out. But they didn't interview anybody else. The other coaches on that staff had to be upset because they weren't even considered. They bring in somebody with no experience. And so that's wrong. That's what's wrong with the NFL, because you need to go through the process. They didn't do that at all. And I think that a lot of people are negative toward the NFL because they don't look out for other coaches. They have a assistant coaches club where Romeo Crennel, who used to be with the Giants and used to be coach of the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs, he's the one who's kind of helping out on that. But they're not giving him the chance because they're not really considering the people they throws up, most of which are African Americans.
That's exactly right. And what about McVay? He's over in LA, and now he doesn't even know whether he wants to coach next year, right? And so that puts a lot of stress not only on your coaching staff, but on management. It's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait around until you decide whether you're going to come back next year and coach? Or because if you don't start your coaching search process now, you may be behind the eight ball and not get the guy you want.
Well, I thought the Los Angeles Rams had a terrible rebound season after reaching the Super Bowl. And I think that I think Sean, the coach McVay, it was his first losing season. Things did not go the way that he had planned. His quarterback got hurt. His star defensive end got hurt. A lot of injuries. But the thing about it, most coaches go through that and then try to get better, probably because of what Coach Payton did for the New Orleans Saints. He wants to take a year off. And I think Sean McVay is doing the same thing because, you know, he felt he had a tough year. It's tough when a coach can do what he wants and still get paid on some of these situations and then just wait till the next year. They say Payton could go to either Los Angeles Chargers if they lose that last game, or he could go to the Dallas Cowboys if they lose against the Bucs later in this week. So it's a tough situation, and the coach is one of the toughest jobs that you'll ever have, and that's why I've never, ever wanted to be a coach.
And I just want to get your blood to boil just a little bit. The last team we're going to talk about is your favorite team, your favorite coach, Cliff Kingsbury, right, from the Cardinals. Who do you think is right for that job? You know, they're talking about, you got Harbaugh. Where is Sean Payton going to land? So they got two big names out there that are probably or potentially will end up in the NFL next year or back in the NFL next year. Where do you think either of those two guys will go, or will they not come back at all? Will Sean sit out another year waiting for the Dallas job? Because what I hear is, if Dallas loses this week, McCarthy is fired. And I think Sean wants the Dallas job. So partially because I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl with McCarthy. I want them to win this week. But I'm scared to death if Sean Payton goes to Dallas and fixes that shit too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't want Sean Payton to fix it. I want the Cowboys to be their losing team. People, as a matter of fact, I was with a guy yesterday. He was telling me about how great the Cowboys was. And I had to remind him, they hadn't been to the Super Bowl in over 25 years. Some of the kids weren't even born when the Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl. And I just think Jerry Jones has hurt that team. And he's the kind of owner that you don't want to be coaching your team. He thinks he's a coach. He thinks he's a general manager. And I don't think the Cowboys can do it unless he gets out of the picture. And the only way he'll get out of the picture is if he retires, because he's getting up there and he knows he's got to win a Super Bowl before he gets too old. So I'm not a fan of his at all. As far as Cliff Kingsbury, I've never liked him. He was at Texas Tech where I went. I thought he was terrible then. He came into the league with this quarterback, smallest quarterback in the league, in Murray. They started out last year 11-4, and every single year that Kingsbury has coached, they faded at the end. And that is coaching, Charles Way. I don't think he deserves another head coaching job. Maybe a coordinator somewhere, but definitely not a head coach.
Yeah, and so as we wrap up, I just want to let's go through the games this week. Let's see where the upsets are. I really think that there's an upset with the Chargers and the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. What do you think about that?
I definitely think so, because the coach made the mistake of playing his players when they had nothing to gain. He lost his star defensive end. He lost his star wide receiver, Mike Williams, and that's coaching. And the owner knows that too. So if the Chargers win, if they lose, they're going to fire the coach. But I'm going to go with Jacksonville. Lawrence has played outstanding the last half of the season. He's shown why he was a top pick in the league, and that they really have impressed me. And they won their last game of the season, made the playoffs. And I think they're going to continue going and play another week and beat the Chargers.
I agree with you. I think 49ers and the Seahawks is not even a game, especially after I saw the way Seahawks played last week. 49ers should crush them. Do you agree?
I definitely agree. I think San Francisco got the best defense, and their offense is beginning to move the ball, and it's going to be exciting. But I definitely think that San Francisco is going to go on to the next week.
And now, now the breaking news that we were waiting until the fourth quarter to let everybody know, Tua is out because of concussion protocol, so he's not playing. I don't think they have a chance. I think you should have, if you were going to bet on this game, you should have bet before the announcement came out that Tua wasn't playing, because this may get ugly quick.
And the thing about it is that Tua, you know, I don't know if I'm saying that he is lightheaded because he's gotten a couple concussions. He cannot take a lick. I mean, he showed that at Alabama, but when he came in the NFL, when he's on, the offense is really good. But when he's off and he's a little bit nicked up, he's not that good. I expect them to lose this week also.
And what about the Ravens-Bengals? I think it all depends on, is Lamar Jackson healthy and will he play?
Yeah, but see, Lamar has been out 5 weeks. 5 weeks is a long time for a guy to get out of his groove. You think about somebody coming back after 5 weeks off, they're always a little rusty. You look at Watson of Cleveland, he never regained his quarterbacking that he had at Houston this whole year. So I don't think Lamar can come in and lead them to victory after he's been out for 5 weeks. So I look for Cleveland I look for Cincinnati to definitely win the game. Cincinnati is playing probably one of the best balls of any team out there. And they're defending AFC champions. They have a chance to win this week, and I think they will.
And what about the Cowboys Buccaneers? I think Tampa Bay may have gotten hit their stride a little bit, huh?
Well, see, the thing they have is Brady. If Brady is on, it's over. He's always done good against the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys really, by the way that they've lost a lot of games by being undisciplined, I think they're not coached well. I think they're overrated. I think that they believe the hype that Jerry Jones throws at them. I don't know who's going to win this week. It would seem it's about time the Cowboys win, but because of the way I feel about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, I have to go with Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I would like to see Todd Bowles get a win. I think he's been getting a lot of heat this year, but a lot of that has to fall on Tom Brady's shoulders. You got a veteran that's the superstar of the entire NFL that's on your team, and he can make or break that team, and you can't put all of that on Todd Bowles now. A lot of it has to go. Brady has to share some of that blame for the way their season turned out.
And before we end this, Charles, Todd Bowles, I've loved for a long time. I want him to succeed. My problem is that he doesn't show much emotion on the sidelines. And I think he, just like Dabo does, he gets in players' faces. I think you got to do that as a head coach.
I think you do too. I think on that team, it's a lot harder because you got a lot of veterans on that team. They're really old. And so I'm hoping they have three games in them. Because you know what? It would be a good story. I can never root for the Cowboys. So as much as I don't want them to lose because I don't want Sean Payton taking that job, because I think he will be the one that turns them around and makes, they have the talent to be a dynasty. And I think he would make them a dynasty. I just can't root for the Cowboys though, as much as I want to.
You've been listening to the Expressway. We're on each and every week, and we do it in four quarters. We try to analyze the games both after and before. And each and every week, we try to make it fun for everybody. For Charles Way, I want to thank Dennis back in the studio. My name is Billy Taylor. Everybody have a great wild card weekend, which is the best time in the NFL. And thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You've been listening to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. And we're on the NFL A podcast each and every week. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.